So, good morning. Boker Tov. We are beginning the process of moving towards the ending of the retreat. And at this time, we'd like to speak a little bit about the tradition and the practice of Dana, which is something very central and very much at the heart of what we're doing here. So thank you for coming along to listen, as we asked. Have I got this in about the right place? Can you hear okay? Great. So Dana is a word from the language of Pali, which is the language the Buddha's teachings were written down in. And it's a word that means generosity, that means sharing, that also means specifically the making of an offering, or the giving of a gift. And it's something that the Buddha spoke of a lot, and it's something that is very much at the heart of what we're engaged in, as I said. The sense of this retreat is an offering. Through many people's wish and care and hope for the welfare of all of us and for the world, in fact, that the teachings and practices we've been exploring and sharing here together are something that we as teachers and that the staff who are serving here and that the many people involved in the organization of Tovana wish to make available as an offering to all who are interested to receive them, to make this opportunity for practice, for understanding, for deepening in wisdom and in compassion, to make this available to anyone who would wish to explore it. And this is an expression of the sense of appreciation and of gratitude that we also ourselves feel for what we have received. There's a natural way in which when we recognize something as of value, when we recognize something as precious, we feel moved to want to share it with others. And this is at the heart of what we're doing here. So, the Buddha often spoke of the practice or the possibility of sharing as something that really uplifts our heart, something that touches us. Because when we share things that we have, when we share what we love, it actually brings us closer to what we love. And it actually also has the capacity to transform our world, to make what we love stronger in the world when we give support to it, when we share it, when we contribute in this way. And this was placed very much at the heart of the way the Buddha created his community 2,500 years ago in the area that's now northern India. Those who were his followers and who undertook to commit to the life he was living and teaching lived as nuns and monks, entirely dependent on generosity, entirely dependent on what was given to them freely by the people who wished to give them support. And they equally gave entirely freely their teaching, their guidance, and their support to those communities. So there's a process of mutual sharing, of giving and receiving. And this tradition has been carried on through the hundreds and thousands of years since that time to be part of how Tovana works very much, and also to be part of the tradition of insight meditation around the world. And so teachers and retreats in this tradition are offered and seen as an offering, as a gift. And in that, a gift given with the wish, with the intention that this be for the welfare, this be for the benefit of all of us who are part of it, and not just those who are part of it, but that the benefits and the well-being that comes from this goes further, goes beyond, out into the world. And so, as you know, I'm sure, it's part of the information that we are all given in coming to a retreat, that the organization does not charge for coming to the retreat. But the Amuta Tovana has a significant outlay. Excuse my clumsy attempts at Hebrew. It has significant outlay to make this retreat happen, to hire this venue, to provide the food, to also to bring all the people who will serve, the cooks, the managers, the teachers. And in coming these people, the staff and teachers, we are not also asking for payment or charging for the service we give, but our expenses to come here are covered. So for some, most, it's the journey from some other part of Israel. For me, it's a journey from a little further away. Leela said to me yesterday that she thought maybe some people think I will come from Israel because I have an Israeli name. But I come from a little further away. Maybe you guessed from my accent. And so Tovana will cover the cost of my travel coming from where I live in England to here and return, so that we are not paying to come. We're not out of pocket as such. But both the Amuta Tovana and the teachers are living in a way and having their lives in a way that is independence upon support, upon a mutuality of generosity. And so at the end of a retreat, we offer this opportunity. And it's also part of the offering to practice generosity, to practice sharing, to have an opportunity to give and share of what we have. And in doing so, I think we enter into something both beautiful and not always easy for us to know how do I do it. It's perhaps easier if someone says, if you want this, you must pay this much. Huh? We know this. It's how most of the world works. And if you want it and you can pay this much and you want to give that much, then you have it. But if you can't or you don't feel able to give that much, you can't have it. And that's the deal. Huh? That's how the world mostly works. Here, it's already given. It's already given. You have it. We hope it's good for you too. We trust that it is. And then there is an invitation to see how you feel moved to respond and what you feel you can also offer to support this. So it's in some ways it's less clear for us what to do, particularly if we're new to such situation, and it is a practice. We can ask ourselves and listen carefully, what do I feel moved to offer and what do I feel able to offer? Because sometimes we have the tendency to feel, I don't have enough, I don't have enough, and it's very tight, and what can I share? Not, I don't have much to give. And if the truth of our circumstance is that it is limited, of course we can respect that. But it's also the case that we always have enough for now, because otherwise we wouldn't be here. We couldn't be here. If we didn't have enough for now, we wouldn't be here. That's the truth of our experience. So it's often our relationship to the future that creates the sense of not enough and can create a sense sometimes of scarcity that when we live from it, feels kind of tight and not very free, not very rich. So we can be aware if this is our pattern or this is our experience. It's uncommon, not uncommon, and not to judge it, but to see what feels actually true for us, what feels real for us. Because we can also have the pattern that says, oh, I must give so much, I must, you know, I will take a second mortgage on my house and, you know. And if you want to do that, it's okay, but you should talk to your family first. So also we can feel this sort of obligation pressure. But actually to listen and see, what is my heart moved to do here? Because if we do not listen to that, it's easy for us to feel sorrow and regret. But also to listen to the reality of our circumstance. Because for some, our capacity is, or our circumstance is limited in what we can offer. And we can respect that. That's part of why we offer the retreat this way. To meet, so that some who have less resources are not prevented from coming. But also, for some, we may realize we actually have enough and perhaps even plenty. And then we have the good fortune to share that. To share that. We have the blessing of sharing what we have. And we can do so with a sense of abundance or freely giving. And in this way, trusting that we will all be taken care of. So for Amuta Tovana, that's how you say it, isn't it? Yeah. and also for us as teachers, there is a vulnerability, a dependence here. We actually cannot do this if we do not receive support. And it is not on one person or any particular retreat even that this dependence is absolute. But in every situation like this, yes, there's a vulnerability and a, we can say, dependence for support. And over the long term of the year or years, if there is not support, it cannot be. It cannot happen this way. But what is wonderful is that there is support. This does come. For myself now, for 22, 23 years, I've been living entirely on what I'm given freely by people out of kindness and out of generosity. And it's a great privilege and also a small miracle, I think, in our world that it works. And likewise, Leela and Betel, relying on the support and generosity of students, practitioners like yourselves who appreciate what is offered, who wish to support both the offering and people who make the offer. And they're very grateful also for your support and rely on it for taking care of their needs, their providing of what, you know the things we need to live in this world. We know it all. It's not easy for any of us. So there's the opportunity to give in support of the teachers and also to give in support of the organization, which is equally reliant and needing your support in order to continue in this way. And it's a very beautiful and special thing that happens here. Many places in the world, the retreat or the organization will actually charge a fee for the retreat. And then the teachers will offer the teaching in this way of Dana. But here in Israel, this tradition has been expanded in I think, a very inspiring way. Everything is offered freely. And I'm very happy to be part of that and to just invite you to make your response from a place of your heart and also your head. And that somehow they come together with what is both the truth of what we feel and also the reality of our circumstance and what is possible for us. And in that also to enjoy the process. It's something lovely to be able to give, to be able to share, to be able to offer. And there are many other forms of offering also. The giving of dana, the offering of dana. Here I'm speaking a lot about the very particular offering of financial support that is needed here, that is asked for here. And I'm not pretending to you we're not doing this. I want to make it clear. In one sense, we're saying, yes, please give us money. And actually also saying it's good for you if you give us money. And it's good for us. Now, we might be suspicious when we hear this. But it's true. It's good for our hearts, all of us, when we share. And there are many ways we can give and share. So we can give in kind words, in kind actions, and many ways we offer what we offer, our space, our time, our material resources, as well as things that are directly financial contribution. And all of this is something very beautiful and something very powerful that does truly make a difference to this world. And so thank you for your listening and reflecting on this, and Leela will speak a little bit more and also about some of the practical elements of how this is done here.
Thank you, Nyanaji, for these words, beautiful words, and for doing this so many years and following your footsteps on this. It's okay if I speak in English? Yeah. No response. Well, I'm sitting here and I'm actually finding my heart really fills with joy. It's been years that I'm giving dana talks at the end of retreats. And only at the last months, I think, I've really, it sort of struck me what I already knew for a long time, but it's like, it came closer. Actually, what we're doing here, it's on such a deep level, it's such a radical act. It's a political act, it's a social act, it's a life-changing act. Actually, this retreat that we just finished is supported by money that was given by people whom we don't know. They were sitting last retreat. Well, I do know because I was here teaching. But at the end of the retreat, they heard pretty much the same thing. We had this little ceremony that I'll go into in a little while, explaining the giving, the act of giving was on its way, and voila, we have another possibility for another retreat. So this retreat is already paid for. It's amazing, really. It's so special and unique in a world that it's so much about get the best deal at the least price. And all of that, it's just such a different opportunity to live and to develop a different kind of attitude towards what we are taking and what we are giving, particularly money, but not just money. And so many of us have this funny relationship with money. Whenever this word is mentioned, we sort of, okay, until now it was very spiritual, but now, well, actually, no. There's nothing outside, as we all spoke to you, nothing outside the scope of our life and our meditation. Money is included, just a form, just a common agreement. And I just love the words of the Buddha when he was talking about giving. He said, if you knew what I know about giving, you would not let a single meal pass by without you sharing it with someone. I think it's such a beautiful thing to say and to remember, because actually we all know it. We all know what brings joy to our hearts. We all are involved in giving in so many ways. And sometimes it just happens against our, I don't know, better judgment, against what we think of ourselves, really. And it brings so much joy to the heart, just to be able to do it. And on a deeper level, it opens up the way in which we identify ourselves to be. Something get the chance to open up, to melt. And it's such a great feeling, this openness. And I can speak about it because it's one major part of my practice, giving. I just love it. And it's not always sweet and easy. Like, I often say it on retreats, I practice giving lifts. Thank you. I live in such a major place that, like, there's bus 3 times a day. Yeah, if we're lucky. And so people are really dependent on hitchhiking. And it's not always, or often, it's not comfortable. You know, you find yourself in your own little car driving, maybe having a telephone conversation, and someone out there that you don't know needs help, wants something that you can offer. What do you do? And it's always edgy, yeah? It's always, it's not like, yes, I really want to take this person and we have a wonderful time together. Well, okay, it's always a little bit of wait. But that's the beauty of it. I think what we mostly learn, or a lot of what we learn in a retreat, is that pleasant doesn't necessarily mean good, and unpleasant doesn't necessarily mean bad, which is the common view and the way in which we go about in the world. And giving is no exception. Because it's a practice, it has its edge. And oftentimes we feel a bit, shrunk. It doesn't mean anything. It only means we can expand. That's the sign. אם אנחנו מרגישים שמשהו גדול עלינו, הגיע הזמן לגדול. זה נכון לכל תחום בחיים שלנו. Especially dealing with the thought that we don't have enough or whatever it is. So that's an opportunity to go for it and to make it into a practice. And as Yana was saying, sometimes, or even often, I would say, we tend to go towards that which blinds us, sometimes automatically. We call it three poisons in the teaching of the Buddha. It's either greed or hatred or delusion. And our relationship to money has a lot to do with that. Like, okay, after this talk, well, I still don't know what to give, so I'll just put something. Or, I don't have enough. Maybe I should keep some to myself. Or, I don't like this at all. Just notice these movements within. Just notice them and see if you can practice with them. We have huge trust for mankind, womankind, human beings. We trust in the ability of all of us to wake up. Otherwise, we won't be sitting here talking to you for 1 week, practicing together. And the mere fact that it's happening, month after month, year after year, it's just incredible. It is magic. And it's not a small thing. Tovana, as an organization, took a huge leap. That was 10 years ago, and some of us were there. After endless discussions that involved so much fear as well, very understood, very much understood, because here comes a group of people that we ask no commitment before, money-wise. Just come. And then at the end, we talk a little bit about it, just like now. It's not that we, for 2 days, 3 days, half of the retreat, every day we mention, look, there's some dana at the end. Yeah. And it's happening. Isn't it amazing? For me, it's a sign of what the human spirit can achieve and actually much, much more. And equally for us as teachers, as Yana was saying, it's quite an amazing and challenging way of life. It's great to be faced again and again with this mirror. And it's been years that I'm doing it as well, and Bat-El in Israel. And it's possible. That's the proof. Yeah. Bat-El lost some kilos, I think, in the last year. We still have something to wear and something to eat, and actually much more than that. I personally feel really, really blessed and full of gratitude to the Sangha in that way. So it's a mutual giving. It's a process of giving and giving. It's a win-win situation. And I want to join Yanai at his last words, mentioning and saying, please don't forget it's a joyful act. Find the joy in it, because it's great to give to what you love, to what you appreciate. Why not? Technical practicalities. I think it was very practical what I said to you now, but anyway, that's the most practical. Now it's just the deep.